This is KJZZ's Sun Up, your daily news update from Phoenix, the state, and the region. Good morning, I'm Bruce Drummond. Phil returns tomorrow. This podcast is a daily digest of Arizona news as reported by the KJZZ news team. It's Tuesday, the 21st of April. Nice to have you listening today, and let's see what's in the news. Lake Powell, the nation's second-largest reservoir, is held back by a big dam in northern Arizona. After a record dry winter, the federal government has a new plan to prop up water levels. But as Alex Hager reports, some policy experts say it's only a short-term solution.
Federal officials will send water from Wyoming and Utah down to Lake Powell. They'll also reduce the amount of water that flows out of Powell and into the Grand Canyon. Dropping water levels are threatening to cause infrastructure problems inside the dam in Page, Arizona, and shuffling water around will help keep the system running while a long-term plan is still in the works. Eric Balkin directs the nonprofit Glen Canyon Institute.
This action that's being taken is a Band-Aid solution for a gaping wound, because it's a short-term measure that does not get at the root of the problem, which is overconsumption of water.
Leaders from seven western states are under pressure to agree on a plan to reduce that consumption from the Colorado River, but their negotiations have hit a standstill. Alex Hager, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
The Phoenix City Council plans to take action on proposed changes that would reduce speed limits across city streets at tomorrow's meeting. Ignacio Ventura reports.
The latest change would affect 13 streets across the city, including a stretch of Osborne Road between 40th and 56th Street that would be reduced from a 30-mile-per-hour speed limit to 25 miles per hour. Members of the Transportation, Infrastructure, and Planning Subcommittee approved lowering those speed limits last week, citing recommendations from city transportation staff based on factors like traffic and road conditions, school activity, and residential use. A transportation spokesperson says staff considers requests from citizens, as well as Phoenix Council members, when considering what speed limit changes to propose to the full council. Ignacio Ventura, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
State lawmakers gave preliminary approval to a prospective leader of the state housing department yesterday. From the politics desk, here's Cameron Sanchez.
The state Senate is tasked with vetting the governor's nominees to lead state agencies. The Republicans hold power in the state legislature. On Monday, Arizona Department of Housing Interim Director Ruby Dillon Williams underwent scrutiny from lawmakers. She defended the department's use of low-income housing tax credits to create affordable housing in Arizona.
We have been able to create more than 10,000 units using the low-income housing tax credit program, which then creates the opportunity in that middle segment of the housing continuum to have more Arizonans housed in affordable housing.
Republican lawmakers, including Committee Chair Jake Hoffman, questioned the value of the tax credits. They also referred to negative findings in a past audit of the department, which Dillon Williams says are being corrected. If approved by the full Senate, she will be the department's official leader. Cameron Sanchez, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
A coalition of environmental groups is suing the Environmental Protection Agency, saying it's failing to enforce a stricter national standard for soot pollution. The case could affect air quality protections across our region. The Mountain West News Bureau's Caleb Radel reports.
Soot pollution, or fine particulate matter, can lodge deep in the lungs and bloodstream. It's linked to asthma, heart disease, and premature death. Last year, the EPA tightened national limits on the pollutant. But environmental groups say the agency missed a key deadline earlier this year, one that identifies areas of the country not meeting the standard. Now, the Center for Biological Diversity is asking a federal court to force the EPA to act. Ryan Mahar is an attorney with the group.
So delay at the designation step means delay in cleanup plans and delay in relief for people suffering from unhealthy levels of pollution.
The implications stretch across our region, where wildfire smoke, winter inversions, and industrial pollution already strain air quality. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Caleb Radel.
A new management agreement intends to relocate over half of the Salt River wild horse population. Now advocates are urging state officials to find ways to enhance wild horse protections. Here's Amelia Monroe with details.
The proposal by the state's Agriculture Department intends to reduce the number of horses from 274 to under 120 in 5 years. But wild horse advocates like Susie Bell are calling the reduction plan a more aggressive version of one that expired last year. Under the original program, the Salt River Wild Horse Management Group was on track to get the number of horses between 150 and 200 horses.
All Governor Hobbs has to do is say, no, let the rest of the 10-year plan continue because there is no imperative emergency to justify changing that.
The management group will continue to lead the reduction process under the new program, which was instated in February. Amelia Monroe, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
The Santa Rita Hall near downtown Phoenix has a new face thanks to renovation efforts by Chicanos Por La Causa. Matthew Casey recently visited the place where current and former labor icons made history.
Voices echo inside Santa Rita Hall.
You can smell the fresh paint. It looks fantastic from the last time I was in this building.
Max Gonzalez is with CPLC.
This is the birthplace of our organization, so we're proud of it. It means a lot to us, but we also think it means a lot not only to this neighborhood, but to the history of the city of Phoenix.
And U.S. history, too. Cesar Chavez held his final fast here in the 1970s. CPLC publicly denounced him the day the New York Times published its sexual assault investigation in March. The room where Chavez stayed won't honor him.
Who knows how we're going to use it moving forward? It'd probably be an office or something.
Other history made at Santa Rita Hall came from one of Chavez's accusers, Dolores Huerta.
What happened here has gone really international. And when I say that, I'm talking about Si Se Puede, right? Woo! About Si Se Puede, because this is where Si Se Puede started.
That was Huerta in 2022, recounting her reply to those who said a law against farm worker unions could not be overturned. Matthew Casey, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
U.S. trade officials were in Mexico yesterday as the two countries discussed the future of the trade pact that binds them. The USMCA trade agreement keeps many goods that flow between the U.S., Mexico, and Canada tariff-free. U.S. Trade Representative Jamison Greer said at a congressional budget hearing that one of the administration's goals remains bringing jobs back to the United States.
That's why I'm trying to have higher tariffs on the rest of the world so that I can actually incentivize manufacturing in the U.S.
Trade officials are discussing the terms of the USMCA trade agreement ahead of a mandated review of the treaty this summer. A bill passed by House lawmakers would provide a new safety net for thousands of Haitians in the U.S. on temporary protected status. It's an immigration status given to nationals from countries where it's unsafe to return to because of war, natural disasters, or other crises. The Trump administration removed the status for more than 350,000 Haitians, including some who've been in the U.S. for decades. Christine Ellis is a Chandler City Councilwoman with the National Haitian American Elected Officials Network.
We have a pretty sizable community here. They have been very solidly integrated into Arizona. I will say majority of them are settled when it comes to their paperwork and things like that.
If passed, the legislation would extend the protected status for Haitians for 3 years. Phoenix is known for a few things. It's one of the fastest growing places in the country. Its summers are oven hot, and it's located in one of the most biodiverse deserts. Now, an exhibition at Desert Botanical Garden in Phoenix explores the tension that comes when humans and nature collide. Kathy Ritchie reports.
It's called Frame Rate Desert Pulse. The exhibition is a collaboration with UK-based ScanLab Projects. Laura Spalding Best is the Senior Director of Exhibits at the Garden.
And so there's so much here that we were curious about going into the project, working with ScanLab Projects, working with the artists on this.
In front of her, a screen flickers grayscale images of different cactus twitching, pulsing, almost breathing.
You know, what we wanted to kind of uncover, and you never know what you're getting into when you start this kind of project, but we're hoping to uncover is sort of how vibrant and how ever-changing this desert actually is.
By scanning the same location day in and day out over the course of a year using LiDAR as their medium, the artists at ScanLab were able to create these moving works of art. Another screen shows highly detailed images of cactus blooms. Other installations show the impact of humans on the landscape.
So that when you shift back to that natural imagery, I mean, it's almost jarring.
The exhibition runs through Mother's Day. Kathy Ritchie, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
And in sports, after taking a weekend series against Toronto, the Diamondbacks continue their homestand by hosting the Chicago White Sox tonight. The first pitch at Chase Field is 6:40. And in basketball, after being blown out in Game 1 of their first-round NBA playoff series on Sunday, the Suns will try to get back on a winning track tomorrow night. Game 2 of the series against the Thunder will be in Oklahoma City, and tip-off is at 6:30 Arizona time. And that's it for this edition of KJZZ's Sunup, Arizona's morning news podcast for Tuesday, April 21st. I'm Bruce Drummond. Thanks for your company this week, and we'll be back at it tomorrow.